Captain Jerry Hendricks, U.S. Navy, retired of the Center for a New American Security, looking at the latest statements by Captain Casey Moten of the Littoral Combat Ship Program Executive Officer Program, speaking at a Mine Warfare Association lunch not too long ago about the status of the LCS program. Captain Hendricks, it's terrific to talk to you again. A lot going on here. Overall, the news appears to be good, according to Captain Moten, on the LCS, but a few things that struck me, and I wanted to ask you about. What's your view overall, though, of what Captain Moten's talking about the LCS program? Thanks for your time today, Jerry.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I think what the captain is saying is that the system is progressing, that we're actually beginning to see the warfare modules. In this case, he specifically talks about the surface warfare module and the mine warfare module are maturing. But there's been some bumps in the roads that are going to cause some additional delays, and the system is going to get here, but it's not going to get here when we expected it. And for that matter, you know, we expected it quite a long time ago. We had hoped to see the modules mature with the ships themselves, both the LCS-1 Freedom variant and the LCS-2 Independence variant. But those ships, in fact, have been built, have been in the water, and have been undergoing overall systems tests for a couple years now, and we're now just getting the warfare modules on board them for the final testing.
The distinction, I think, is important between the variant 1, the Freedom, and the second variant, the Independence, because this is similar and yet dramatically different, I guess, than the F-35 program. We have A, B, and C in the F-35 program, and they're built, supposed to be built on the same platform. The LCS platforms are distinctly different, are they not?
Well, the LCS-1, the Freedom, is a steel hull. It's a monohull. It essentially looks like ships, one single long ship with a pointed bow. But the LCS-2, the Independence hull, is actually a trimaran, and it's an aluminum based ship that's built by a company that we haven't worked with before, and it's integrating a number of new technologies. Of course, when LCS was conceived, the major factor we were looking at was speed, and in fact, you know, looking at these ships, you know, being in excess of 40 knots with their speed capacity, be able to go someplace fast. LCS-1, the Freedom variant, has actually been deployed. It's been over in Singapore operating. The USS Fort Worth has been out. Was part of the search for some of the missing aircraft last year in the Pacific. But the LCS-2, the Independence variant, has not deployed yet, and in fact continues to undergo testing. That's important because the mine warfare mission will nominally be assigned to the LCS-2, the aluminum hull, because, of course, you know, it doesn't give off the magnetic signature that a steel hull would, and so it's natural that we would look at LCS-2 as the ship that takes up the mine hunting, mine warfare mission going forward into the future.
And so do you believe it's reasonable for some of the extensions and testing and of the modules and so on that we're learning about to happen, given that we're doing it on a ship that is an aluminum hull, something which we've never dealt with before?
It is reasonable. It's disappointing, but it's reasonable. One of the things that's complicating the testing specifically with the mine warfare module is that we are not reinventing the wheel with regard to the systems that are on board those ships. The mine warfare equipment has been in existence, was used on ships previous, wooden hulled ships in the Navy. We're bringing those over, integrating it onto the LCS-2s. Some of those systems are old, and in particular, Captain Moten raised the fact that the remote maneuvering vehicles that go under the water to help us search for mines are, in fact, quite old. Some of them are as old as 10 years old, and they're seeing some failures of those RMVs while they're doing testing, and those failures are, in fact, what's causing the delay. The delay isn't particular to the ship. It's particular to the equipment that's being installed on the ship and how that equipment's being integrated with the ship's open architecture electronic systems.
And more specifically, the old technology rather than the new technology, so we have a legacy system issue similar to what we see in government IT sometimes, it sounds like.
Well, for that matter, things that we see on board a number of different new platforms that were out there, where we've gone with sort of a cutting-edge design, but we're using some older systems and off-the-shelf COTS or commercial off-the-shelf systems and trying to install them on them, and we're seeing a little bit of degradation in those systems or a lack of integration with the newer systems.
One aspect of this that I thought was sounded a little bit weird was when Captain Moten talked about the anti-sub warfare package, the ASW package. He says the overall weight of the package is causing problems. My package has to be less than 105 metric tons. When I package the variable depth sonar he referred to, multifunction towed array, when I package all of that together, it puts me over 105 tons, and they've awarded contracts to three companies now to bring in proposals for reducing that package. That strikes me as something that the engineers might have tipped them to ahead of time.
Well, the difficulty there is that the two systems, the variable depth sonar as well as the towed array, are both pre-existing mature systems. The towed array is something that the Navy's been operating for a number of years, and the variable depth system is actually something that we've brought in and integrated from the British. It's something that I think was developed for their Type 23 frigate. And so we knew what the weights were of those two systems, and both of those weights combined would be under 105 metric tons. But when you bring them together and then you have to put an integrating system as well as a fielding system, meaning the winches and the wheels and the cables to be able to deploy those from the ships, bringing that all together is what essentially busted the weight cap of 105 metric tons. So now they've gone out to these three companies to ask for different proposals on how they can come in underweight. Now, one of the things that concerns me about this, and it was mentioned in one of the stories that I was reading earlier, is that one of the things they're looking at is the idea of using composite materials for the winches. This would be the thing that lowers and raises the towed array from the back of the ship. We've been using towed arrays for decades in the Navy. I'm not sure to the extent that we've actually tested or used composite materials for hauling very heavy objects, you know, up and down through the water system, and also what's going to happen with those composite materials when you're moving with speed through the water towing that array. Some of those things, in an attempt to make weight, we may be compromising the long-term reliability of the system.
How do we get a sense of that in testing ahead of time, Captain?
Well, I mean, this is where you start, integrating the things together and testing to see how it's going to work. What you'll see first is, you put the things under strain. You'll look for hairline fractures, cracks, so on, and, mission failures. But a lot of these things won't really become evident until you have several thousand hours of use. You've really began to build the maintenance book of what we call, gripes, or for that matter, broken systems, and then we start to see patterns emerge over time. The initial test, generally we don't get enough time during initial tests to really see the long-term implications of systems and how they're going to operate across the life of a platform.
And the message I take away from that, maybe I'm reading too much between the lines of your words, Jerry, but what I take away from that is that some of this, by the nature of what we're expecting these ships to accomplish, will have to happen under normal use, that testing won't be able to account for all of it, and that we'll just have to wait and see what happens when these ships are actually deployed.
You know, it's a great thing and it's a bad thing that we have to place a lot of dependence on the American sailor and his ingenuity, his or his, her ingenuity. But this is historical. You know, the Oliver Hazard Perry class, which is today continued to sort of be the gold standard of frigates, when it first deployed back in the early 1970s, it was viewed with a great deal of disdain. But the American sailors that were deployed on those ships figured out how to use them, how to fix them, how to make them run efficiently. Over time, LCS, both LCS-1 variant and the LCS-2 variant, will be made to work by the ingenuity of the sailors that are assigned to them. So I have confidence in the long run. The question is how many bumps in the road do we have to go over before we sort of get to that even plane of efficient operations?
The message that I took away from the captain's comments at this event fit with what you just said, too. I mean, again, implicit in between the lines of what he said was, we're on the right track, we're headed in the right direction. He even said outright, there's not a single failure that's caused me to look at a certain system and say, I better go to plan B. The message to me seems to be, LCS, for whatever problems it may have had in the past, if there was a corner to be turned, it's turned it and is headed in the right direction.
I agree with that, and one of the things we have to keep in mind as well is there is no plan B. We're at 273 deployable ships, according to a recent updated status on the Navy's website. You know, we really need a Navy in excess of 300 ships in order to cover down all of our presence, four deployed presence requirements around the world. LCS, and the number that we looked at originally on that of trying to build 55 LCS ships, is critical to us being able to get our naval presence numbers up to be able to meet the Navy's requirements around the world.
Jerry, excellent insight as always, and I thank you very much for your time today.